There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, let's do it again. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Wednesday. Glad to have you here. And still, number is the same as it ever was. 343-0106. 343-0106. Those digits get you through all the text and phone call. 343-0106. And if you want an option, hey, we got options. FM Talk 106.5 app gives you the ability to use the talkback feature, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. So use that as well to get through this hour. All right. We'll get to the text line, and then I got some stories stacked up here. I do want to respond, too, to the Thought Zone with Jeff Davis right there at the end of the hour. He's talking about energy sources. You know, there's like, There's things I want to talk about on the show, but I'm like, you're such a nerd, Sullivan. Nobody else cares. But if you do want to have this conversation, we could on the text line. Have you seen the tiny reactors? I mean, Jeff was talking about the different ways to, you know, I've been into solar for a long time. I think it's very cool. You know, even back when, I can't believe you like solar. It's not political for me. I don't want the government to pick solar to be, you know, give a grant to and all that stuff. You're talking about conservative. If I can get energy for a lot less money, then, I mean, it's always been interesting to me. So I do like solar, and what was my dad's? I've been monkeying around with that for a long time. I think that's cool. And now I saw a story the other day about these tiny nuclear reactors. I know, this like, they call them nuclear micro reactors. They're small enough to fit, like, you could pull them behind a semi-truck. And you could, and then from there, that's the power source. So if you needed to go, I mean, after a disaster or something that, you know, knocked out a power station or something like that, another kind of power station, or somewhere where there's not power right now, I don't think they're going to, I mean, we're talking about like using them for companies that want to do those AI centers. You know, that's one of the things, all this AI, all the electricity is going to be used by AI is going to make nuclear come back into fashion. But these are like, you could, I don't know how it all works, but you know, you have some remote location, you could put that in and it could just run, you know, as nuclear does very efficiently and for a long time in the back of a, I don't know, this, if y'all want to talk about it, I mean, I read up a bunch about it the other day and yes, I nerded out on it. All right, back to the other stories. Let me go through some text here. Let's see. So this is similar to, this is people's experiences yesterday when they went to vote. This texter said same thing that happened to Dan happened to me yesterday. This morning, the Board of Registrars called me back because I left a message being a citizen, and they blamed it on the federal government updating the voter rolls in the spring. They said I was marked as inactive, because that's what they told Dan, too. They marked him as inactive, which was laughable since he was there 4 weeks before. So this person says, I left a message being a citizen, and they blamed it on the federal government updating voter rolls in the spring. They said that I was marked as inactive. Then I asked them how I was able to vote in August, and they said sometimes it can take months for the federal government to update voting rolls. It's total garbage, and they have no idea what really happened. Yet, Texter, your situation is like, you know, Dan, I mean, it's not just that Dan voted in August, but he is a voter. He's not an inactive voter. Yes, somebody's saying, how do you get put on the inactive list? I think if you don't vote in 4 years, Texter, I think that's what it is. Somebody said eight yesterday, but I thought it was four. But so there were people put on the inactive list that were not inactive. And then, like you heard Erica say, well, there was supposed to be a provision in the 10X or whatever the software they use for this that should have, and I'm just trying to go through the story. I'm not an expert on this, that it would then prompt them to give them a form to fill out to, I guess, reactivate or whatever, and then you give them a normal ballot. But it sounds like it didn't do that yesterday, and it said give those people a provisional ballot. I mean, we got to do better than this. Summerdale Tony said they should just do paper ballots and quit trying to get fancy. It may take a little longer to count, but at least you can count them. And it said the, well, yeah, but this case wasn't even that about counting them. It was they were having them fill out provisionals because they were showing up in the inactive roll. So even if it's, and it is paper in a way, right? I mean, it's like you fill out the Scantron paper, and then you scan it in the computer. So it's one extra step. And Tony also says the Gulf Shores tax deal sounds like it's a little too convenient. Y'all, that's the thing I got stuck on that story from Erica. You can go look at it, 1819 News. Just read this once again. The legislature passed a statewide tax on vaping products effective October 1st, 2026. So that'll be the start of the new fiscal year. The law includes a provision allowing municipalities and counties to impose a local tax on products provided they do so by October 1st, 2025. Okay, it says it allows municipalities and counties to impose their tax. But they're going to tax it anyway. So here's Anna Franklin. She was talking about the Gulf Shores Financial Services Director said, we could either participate in their share of collections, which would be 25% of their collections. Then it would be further divided with our population divided by the collective population of all municipalities in the state, or we could collect our own. She's like it's like a racket coming down from Montgomery, and like so many times, things get done in Montgomery, and then the people have to implement it at a county or municipal level. They're not given. I mean, look what happened to the CBD stores and all that stuff. They didn't know what the law was, and they called to Montgomery. And I mean, I remember talking to Sheriff Lowry about this. When they were saying, okay, we got to enforce these laws, even the sheriff's departments didn't know what the law was. Montgomery, if you're going to pass legislation like that, you need to send out a booklet or a primer or do a YouTube video or something so people know what the heck is going on. Texter says, so much for a pleasant, relaxing train ride. How many weeks has it been going? I wonder if we will have to have a days without counter like the Bankhead. Now we have that days since the last accident Bankhead dry erase board in here from the folks at Nutria Rodeo, which we love. It's in our studio. You know, Dasher, one of the I'm sorry, this is Jeff from Spanish Fort. Sorry, Jeff. You know, one of the I keep going back to this because, and I should Google up the stories, but I remember when they're doing over the last couple of years like test rides of Amtrak trains through our area. I don't know, checking the tracks. I don't know what you do. But they had had, I think, a few, being three, I think, incidents where they hit a vehicle or hit, there was a, because people are so used to, which the problem is, don't run the dang train. Don't do that. But people, I guess, had some idea. They knew the speed of the train that could get across the track, and these Amtrak trains were going faster. Billy D says, not downplaying, oh, I'm sorry, we'll come back. No. We'll finish Billy D and then we'll go back to this. Not downplaying Erica's efforts or being disrespectful, but I did not hear her say what did or did not happen yesterday. I hear a few things that make me scratch my head. One of which is they decided to update the system on election day. Wow. A lot of common sense went into that decision for sure. I wonder if there will be any follow-up or if we'll ever hear a plan moving forward to prevent such BS issues moving forward. Small glitch, as she described, could be a major problem in the future. You know, Billy D, this is what I said yesterday. And I know people just want to assign blame on that day and get mad. I want a postmortem on this. I want to know, and Erica described some of the stuff, but I would, if I'm running that for the county, I'm going to come out and say, here's what happened. Here's how we're not going to do it again. I mean, just like you do anywhere, right? You got a problem, you say, here's the problem. You admit to the problem. And you talk about the measures to keep that from happening again. Right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Let's check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Well, y'all were paying attention to trends in voting yesterday. The folks at the shop were watching gold hit another new high. Anna, this seems to be happening with some regularity.
Yeah, I mean, silver is over $44 an ounce, and then gold it hit $3,794 yesterday.
Cha-ching. You know, we talked about it. Yeah, people that have been in it for a long time, obviously, great appreciation. But people that bought it last year, I mean, they were buying it for 2,000 something last year, and now it's it's pushing the upper ends of the 3,000s now.
Yes, sir. So last year I think it was around 2,700, and actually, you know, you don't have to even go as far as last year. I had a customer last week that was hesitant, and then they finally decided to go ahead. So between the weekend, so I locked them in on Friday. Between the weekend up to I think yesterday, Tuesday, they made $100 already on their gold that they bought.
I like it. And people start thinking about this. Okay, how am I going to buy precious metals? In what form? How do y'all, like, if we come in there, we talk about coins, but what forms do we buy the gold in?
It's better to stick with just 1 ounce pieces, because a lot of people want to start out with the little fractional ones, but those are going to cost you more premiums in the long run, so it'd be harder to get your monies back out of it. But 1 ounce pieces, so American Gold Eagles, there's South African Cougarands, Canadian Maple Leafs, or just simple plain 1 ounce gold bars.
Okay, so it's like the buying in bulk, like when we're at the store, when I'm grocery shopping, and you see the price per unit or ounce, when you start looking at that, you know, if I'm going to buy this, you know, you got to look at how many cents it is per whatever. So the more you buy, the less you're getting cost. You're spreading those costs out over a bigger buy.
Yes. Yeah. So if you're buying in bulk, so if you buy 1 ounce, you're getting a better premium on that. Absolutely.
Okay. And you mentioned silver is following gold on up the mountain.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so there's predictions out there. You know, I heard all kinds of stuff that gold's going to hit, you know, $50 an ounce and $75 an ounce by the end of the year. And, you know, 50, I can believe. I don't know about 75, but maybe. We can hope.
And the flip side, too, is we talk about this. Y'all are also buying from folks. If they've been holding on to some gold, whether it's in those forms or even you talk about, like, pieces of jewelry they don't want, what a time to sell.
Oh, absolutely. Like, people would be surprised how much just, you know, stuff you have in the house that is just accumulating space, that's one. And then two, it's a couple $100 that you had in scrap gold of broken jewelry, whatever it may be, even sterling silver flatware. That could actually bring in a couple grand, you know, depending on the size of the flatware set.
Okay, well, the next thing you need to tell them is how to find you.
Yes, we are 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. We're just a block west of Little Flower Catholic School and Church. You can find us on Facebook and on our website, mobilebaycoins.com.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
All right. There goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry that I know they are busy, busy. And what's nice is you've got the stuff to buy, but also, like, you hear from Anna, you hear from Ron, you just sit, they will just hang out with you and, like, teach you the stuff like he's done over the years with me. I mean, it's a good thing. Maybe I should. I've got silver. Maybe I should have. I don't know. I've held on to this Cracker Barrel. Leanna, we can talk at the break. The Cracker Barrel stock. I don't know when it's. It was good. I probably should have. I should have bounced earlier. But it's. You know, I'm a diamond hands investor. You know, I hold on to stuff like this. Few shares of Cracker Barrel stock. I hold it a little bit longer. I think we're going to dump it. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. All right. To the text line here. Get a few more of these in the mix. Because this is not just one of y'all. This is like multiple people had an issue. This is from Jason. Said, Sean, I went to vote yesterday at Collins Road Elementary in 8 Mile. I had a card that was mailed to me. Okay, now this is like what the what Superbomb had said. I had a card that was mailed to me in hand saying I should vote there. After looking several times, my name was not on the list, and I was told the district was redrawn and I was no longer in Pritchard. While I can take that as a win, laugh out loud, I had no idea about this and can find no one to explain. Like you said, why is this so hard to figure out? It's very frustrating. Yeah, and especially if you're a regular voter and you went and voted in the municipal election in August, and now it has not changed to September. This is, let's see. Jerry in Fort Morgan. I heard Jeff Davis talking about the Salt Dome generation. You should invite him to Washington County where he could see one that's been in service for years. That, yeah, we could. Jerry, I got to either do that show again or maybe we'll replay. Remember I did like a whole hour. We talked about Salt Domes here and the different, you know, and we talked about them in Louisiana some, but we talked about the Salt Domes here. I love that stuff. And I see you texted about the writing on the shell casings. I'm going to get back to that in a second. Tim said, Sean, election's over with. We got my Greek brother. So now let's investigate why Barbara Drummond is breaking the bylaws and serving multiple terms on the water board. Dirt Digger says, Dan is a walker, talker, and voter, and one of the best person on 106.5's talk show. Dan is the man. Listen, I said her name, and here's the supercomputer supermom. The human supercomputer said, per Google in Alabama, a registered voter is placed on the inactive list after failing to vote for 4 years. Okay, there it is, 4 years. As an inactive voter can still vote but must re-identify themselves with the local board of registrars. Yeah, so it's 4 years. That's what I thought. Thank you, human computer. Let's see. Michael said, if you look at who's running most of the polls, it makes sense why there's shenanigans, whether intentional or not, at the Mobile Museum of Art. Everyone running the polls were the Drummond type of voters. Does that mean were they wearing Drummond stickers? And half had their virtue signaling face masks on. Well, I'll ask you on the face mask thing. So maybe some things have changed. Usually, the average age of the people working the polls is older than me. We'll put it that way. Older people working it. And I have talked about this in the past, how we can get some younger people in the mix. You know, I called out the university. I get on the phone. I just talked to this microphone and said maybe college professors at South or Spring Hill should give their students credit or something to go work the polls. They can learn a lot in the real world. Say, hey, you get extra credit or you don't have to be at class that day or something. So I don't know if the face mask thing, I do see it on occasion, not like we did back in the day. I do laugh. Yes, I do see the same thing where somebody's by themselves in a vehicle riding with a face mask. I don't know what's going through their minds. Maybe not much. Let's see. Connor. So the initial problem Amtrak had with crossing gates is they hadn't been calibrated to react to a higher speed, the higher speeds of the Amtrak. They were set for slower freight train speeds. They fixed this years ago. The biggest problem is the drivers in Mississippi. I think it's the water those people are drinking. They aren't very smart. I just heard air during the break that possibly they got stuck on the tracks. They got stuck on the tracks. So we'll have to find out more on that. But I know the three cases around here were people that they crossed when the arms were down or the lights were on, but they thought they could make it and they judged it incorrectly. This is from Love My County. That's a cool handle on the text line. You mentioned the alternative energy sources. Are you aware of the methane gas to energy plant waste management's building in the Chastang landfill in Mobile? I have heard of this. I'm not going to be an expert. I read one story on it. Texter says it will bring in solid waste from surrounding states and counties. They're asking to increase their solid waste intake from 1,500 tons a day to 5,400 tons a day. Data storage centers are also being built. Interesting. Wait, maybe I'll put it up on the Twitter feed. I don't know if any of y'all nerds like me want to read about the little miniature nuclear reactors you can pull with a semi and like set up. Let's see. Patty says, I'm sure this question has been answered today. My listening has been sporadic because of work. That's okay, Patty. But you can call the Board of Registrar's office and see if your provisional vote was counted. They don't count them if they don't need to. That's the thing that bums me out, too, if they don't need to. By the way, that's what we told Dan. I mean, if they don't need your provisionals, they don't count them, which to me, it's always I'll put a burr under my saddle for some reason on that. All right, back after the news.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I mean, it's straight up raining here at the FM Talk 106.5 studios at Airport and 65. We had a little mist earlier, but I mean, it's straight up raining right now. Check the radar. Got some rain at the house, on the garden. Come on, life is good. More rain to come, says Dr. Bill, coming through tonight into tomorrow. And we've got a lot to catch up on. It's been a very, very dry September. All right, let's we'll come back to the text line in a second. I do want to read this. A story from my man John Sharp. Has a lot of stories out about, of course, last night and the Mobile mayoral runoff and Spiro Chiragata's winning. And John has laid out the five priorities for Mobile's new mayor. And this is something we've talked about on this show when he's been in on the show with us. I think it's interesting to run through this. So maybe keep this as a little guide going forward with the new mayor who starts in, 40 days? Says city administrative staff is one of the priorities. Chiragata's claims that he has not promised Stimson that he will maintain certain key members of the current administration. Stimson himself has denied any quid pro quo for his endorsement of Chiragata's. He said, I want to meet, this is Chiragata said, I want to meet with everyone who serves in the city now. I want to meet with those who serve to the best of their ability and those who maybe not. I want to help them find a way forward so that they are servants we need. If they can't do that, then we'll talk. Okay, so that's a little bit, I mean, when you read John's story, there's more breakdown. The second is public transportation. Now, let me do this again. The second is public transportation.
Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell.
I'm going to get some use out of this Judy Garland stuff here before I'm done with this. Transportation. It says Chiragata says he plans to meet soon with representatives of New York-based Via Transit, which recently received a multi-year bid to operate Mobile's public transit system. He said part of that meeting, he will pitch his plans to hype up the need for trolleys running in the city, at least in downtown Mobile. So trolleys, if you were pro trolleys, yesterday was good for you with Chiragata in public safety. Chiragata didn't commit to a number of police officers that he would like to see patrolling the city during the campaign leading up to the August 26th election. Paul Prine had suggested there was a need to add at least 100 more new officers. Chiragata said he was pleased to see strong incoming classes to the city's police academy and believes the agency will have strong staffing levels. He also said that the National Guard is a military force and not needed on Mobile streets. He said he's confident in the city's police department to handle street crimes. All right. Neighborhoods. Chiragata also hinted at establishing a new department within the city government aimed at celebrating and supporting the city's neighborhoods. He called it the Department of Neighborhood Engagement. Okay. And rounding out the list of these priorities, affordable housing, which, by the way, there's another. I'm going to pop this up, too. I know I'm just going to put everything on the Twitter feed today, but I am. There's a cool thing about states where they have changed some laws and they don't have the problem with housing that other states do. I thought it was an interesting read. Go at FM Talk 106.5 over on X or Twitter. I said affordable housing. Chiragata said there needs to be an incentive to promote housing affordability in Mobile. It's unclear exactly what that might entail, though it would likely require approval by the Mobile City Council. So there's priorities here, and we'll watch these going forward with a brand new mayor after all these years in the city of Mobile. All right, grab a few text here. Let's see. To get the right place here. Ashley in Loosedale says, sure doesn't look good when Dan, a local radio host, has trouble casting his vote. Yeah, it was just, I mean, it's, there's got to be, I mean, got to have a shakedown here. You know, I said yesterday, the shorts and helmets practice before the game starts, right? Clint asks, are they still mud dumping in the bay? I've not seen them out there. Clint, I do not know, but I will, because I have not been out in the bay, although I'm ready to go. Trout fishing should start picking up the bay pretty soon. I'll be out there looking, but I can call my friends that watch that stuff and find out what's going on out there. Clint, so I'll try to get that answered. Or if somebody's been out there in the last few days, let me know. Bill says, why does it matter if someone is inactive? Shouldn't they be able to vote whenever they please, no matter how long in between? I don't see how it could cause a security threat unless their security measures are already insufficient. Let's see. Michael says, I'm concerned the world is ending. Yeah, there you go. But we didn't get raptured, though, by the way, right? Wasn't that supposed to happen? Wasn't the call for, it was, although I think it was yesterday and today, so we're not done with today. But he goes on to say, there's this weird thing falling from the sky. I hate to be Chicken Little, but the sky is falling. Yeah, the rain, man, it's a nice thing to see after a while here. Let's see. DEI and Texture said Spiro was surrounded on stage by Democrats last night, including his staffer. I don't know if I could call out this name because I don't know if this is accurate or not. But a staffer wearing a backpack. I pointed this out before the general election. It's funny to hear far-right folks celebrate the win with us. And Jason saying, any chance we can get Lisa Lambert on the show to answer for all these problems? I'd like to. I'm going to give her time. Jason, I don't know if she'll come on or not. And I'm not coming into it like I got to take scalps here. I want to know. Let's find out what happened. And how do we keep it from happening again? It's like, it's how I deal with stuff at this business or anywhere else. Okay, what screwed up? How did it happen? And how do we not let it happen again? All right, I'm going to mention this, and we talked about at the beginning of the show, but this shooting out in Dallas, right? You've got and the word we have now after the press conference, we have a name of the suspect here. And I'll say it one time, and then, you know, if they end up being guilty, I'll just call him Dirtbag. Joshua John, I think, pretty sure it's them because it's the person they found the body of. So I think, pretty sure, they say suspect, and they're using all the right language, but the person was there who killed themselves is what they said. So about 7 o'clock this morning out in Dallas at the ICE facility, starts shooting, right? Starts the shooting here, ends up not hitting ICE agents, but people that were detainees. It said Department of Homeland Security said the deranged gunman who opened fire at the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Office in Dallas, Texas, had fired from a nearby rooftop. Are we going to have to, do we need to ban guns or we need to ban rooftops? Said the shooter fired indiscriminately at the ICE building as well as at a van in the Sallyport where the victims were shot. 3 detainees were shot. 2 are deceased. The others in critical condition. The gunman was found with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. End quote. That was from DHS. Sources familiar with the investigation identify the gunman as 29-year-old Joshua John. Said we can confirm shell case. And this is the other part. Said we can confirm shell casings were found with anti-ICE messages on them. This was an attack on ICE law enforcement. End quote. DHS is working with partner agencies on the ground. Please join us in praying for the victims and the families. This writing on the brass thing, right? And we see this with the murder, the assassination of Charlie Kirk. See a few other. Maybe it's something from movies or something like that. I mean, I guess there's some history in it. You think about in war that has been done, and then like painting messages on bombs and those kind of things. Maybe I don't know why it's like. And the fact that somebody, it's like an anti. They're going to, I don't know. I mean, I thank God I don't know what's in the mind of people like this. They'll go, okay, I'm going to write these messages on this ammunition before I use this to murder people. I don't know where this person comes from on this because I did have one fear I had talked about in the past that as we crack down on the cartels, crack down on the border, that the drug cartels have enough people in the United States that they could actually mobilizes a terrorist group here in the United States, right? And, okay, you're going to take the fight to us on the border. We're going to take the fight to you in Albuquerque or wherever. But if this person unalived themselves, is that the thing you're supposed to say on YouTube? If I get kicked off any of the platforms, if this person unalived themselves, it's like what a terrorist does, right? It's odd to me. I mean, if it was part of a organized, and they said, okay, we're going to strike ICE, and, you know, because there have been these other strikes, and there was this what went on in Eugene, Oregon, which has not been reported very much out there. We're going to do a strike around. You'd think that that person would try to stay alive for another day of doing this against ICE. The fact that they did this and that, it kind of leaves my head swimming. Maybe to all y'all, it makes absolute great sense. To me, it just has left me with a lot of questions. So we come back to that on the text line. Before I round it up today, and we will probably talk about this going forward some more, as we do all the time here at the station, and that is the gun violence issue in our city. The story this week about the Mobile County Sheriff's Office and the car chase that happened on Friday afternoon. Here's my friend Andrew Ramey's piece over at PMI. It said the Mobile County Sheriff's Office says a 17-year-old known gang member brazenly shot out of the back window at deputies during a car chase Friday afternoon. Deputies say a 13-year-old, and y'all stop, parents out there, 13-year-old, a 13-year-old was driving the stolen car. Four teens all face charges. Sheriff Birch didn't mince words. He warns those in gangs that will either end up in handcuffs or in a casket. Here's a clip from his presser yesterday. Here's what Sheriff Birch had to say.
At 13 and 14 years old, you know, I think there can still be some rehabilitation done to maybe get them back on track. You know, if you have the right home environment and right involvement with family or friends or the community. But I think once you're 15 and up and you're involved in violent crime, you know, and it's sad to say, I think you're a lost cause. You know, and there may be that one that's worth saving. But for the most part, when they're committing those kind of crimes at that age, there's just nothing you can do. You know, they've committed their life to doing those type of activities.
Okay. And this brings me back to the mission of my buddy John Young and Drew Forward and all of us that work with Men United Against Violence, that we're trying to talk to kids that are younger than this. Because just like the sheriff said, they get to a certain point, with maybe this rare exception, that it's very tough to have them give up this life of violence. We're talking to boys out here that are 8, 9, 10 years old. I'd rather not be talking to them about this stuff anyway, but that's when you have to talk to them about it. And the sheriff's talking about this. Once again, the 13-year-old was driving the stolen car. Okay, the elder in the vehicle, 17, known gang member, right, with a history here, and shooting out of the vehicle at law enforcement as they're in a car chase. Says further in the presser from the sheriff, said there were children walking around, people around, walk around a school bus that had just unloaded right around the corner. He says his seasoned deputies, and I've talked about this too, why it is so important not only to get new deputies and police officers in, like we're talking about for the city of Mobile, but to retain them. I like my cops like I like pilots. Seasoned. They've been doing it for a long time. You know, I've told you anecdotes about people I know in law enforcement and just how they deal with the scenario because they've seen it before. There really is a lot to be said for retaining officers and retaining that institutional knowledge. But Birch says his seasoned deputies did not return fire because they recognized the danger to innocent bystanders that were too far away from the stolen car to be accurate. The Special Operations Unit was working in Pritchard when they were alerted to a stolen car and started following it. Birch says the 13-year-old driver wouldn't pull over after a short pursuit. The four teens bailed, tried to run. 14-year-old suspect managed to get away but was captured a few hours later. Birch says the 17-year-old suspect is connected to two other shootings. Birch said both of them were in Pritchard, one at an apartment complex a couple months ago, and another one was a robbery and a shooting where a victim was shot in the head on Wednesday night. Birch said the 17-year-old needs to go to prison. Also here, the 13-year-old here is charged with attempted murder, receiving stolen property first, and felony attempting to elude. The 15-year-old is charged with receiving stolen property first and misdemeanor attempting to elude. 14-year-old is being charged with assault first, receiving stolen property, misdemeanor attempting to elude, and certain persons forbidden to carry, discharging a gun into an occupied, unoccupied building or vehicle. The 14-year-old is charged in Friday's shooting and the shooting at the Hop Food Store. The 13-year-old, 14-year-old, and 15-year-old were taken to Strickland Youth Center. We're going to have to keep backing up when we try to reach out to these. And I'm not going to say young boys. They're not even. We need to get them when they are boys, because this is it's unbelievable. Not that teenagers are going to do stupid stuff. Yeah, teenage males do stupid stuff. They don't elude sheriff's deputies and shoot them up like Bonnie and Clyde out of the back of the vehicle. It's unbelievable. Hey, coming right back, more Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 153 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and talk about what's shaking on the lot here midweek.
Hey, man, we just got a couple of vehicles we bought that'll be here this afternoon. We got a 17 Nissan Titan crew cab. That's the big Nissan truck. And then we got a 18 F-150 with the 5.0 V8 motor. Some people don't like the EcoBoost. Some people do. I don't have a problem with them. But the 5.0 motor has, you know, been around tried and true forever. And it's a Lariat crew cab as well. And then, of course, we got a great selection. I'm looking at the cameras right now. We've got four Ford Explorers sitting out here side by side. Any range of equipment that you could want. I mean, the Platinum all the way to the XLT, Jeep Grand Cherokee. I mean, we got a great selection.
All right. We'll tell people how to find you. Check out that selection. Talk about some financing as well.
Financing is really good right now. The rates have, they dropped them a week or so ago, down a quarter of a point. It's best they've been in, 5 years? And the terms are really good. They're loosening up a little bit at the credit union. So someone that may have been a little questionable with the credit union, they're starting to buy that now. You're not necessarily having to go secondary. But the secondary, you know, they help people get reestablished as well. So we're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068. Or just go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day, bud.
All right, you too. There goes David at LCM Motor Cars. Got time to grab a couple more texts here before Paul Feinbaum takes over the microphone. All right, Superbomb, do these look like... Oh, you're talking about the pictures from the shooting. Do they look like 223 or 556 at the Dallas ICE shooting today? To me, they look like 556. They look like fatties, not skinnies. That's what it looks like to me. I just saw the one picture where they had the stripper clip with the marker said anti-ICE on it. Yeah, they look like 556 is what I'm guessing. I have to go back and study that. But I did remember it didn't look like 223. Let's see. Texture says Candace Owens is who will expose the Kirk assassination, not Cash Patel. Ban engravers too. I don't know what the engraver part is, but the mailman said the shooting in Dallas sounds like a hit on somebody who was being held by ICE, and they just shot everything else to cover it up. The writing on the casings was just to throw police off. So, mailman, I had a similar thought. Okay, but then why did they? But they killed themselves, the shooter, without going to escape. You know, that was the weird thing about it. That's kind of a wrinkle for me. Otto says, Sean, enough with elections. I want to talk about me hitting 10-0 this week in Pick'em. Of course, I thought the same thing last week. You know how that went. Not so good. Well, Otto, I am down in, good for you. I'm down in the 120s or something in college Pick'em, but I'm going to come back. It'll be a good weekend this week. I'll come back, I think. Let's see. Texture says Paul Birch is our Tom Holman with the applause here. The best, you know, but what he's talking about is real. And this is what John Young and Drew Ford and Men Against Violence, United Against Violence has been talking about. You got to get to, yeah. I mean, it's a sad thing to say, but you got to get to them before they're 13. You'd think, well, we'll get these young men and we'll get them when they're 15 and we'll talk to them about how to, you know, be part of the society. No, it's too late. Mailman says, Sean, they never planned to escape. But why would the shooter, if it was a hit, like a cartel hit, which I wondered, but the shooter would plan to escape, I would think. And Brandon said, did they mean to shoot ICE officers and accidentally kill the detainees? That's the question here. I who knows? I mean, it says anti-ICE on the ammunition. But I mean, that we're not that simple, right? I'm not saying that it's not Occam's razor and that's not real, but in a world where we don't trust anything, right? Dude, I can say anything. People are like, oh, you were paid by big whatever, big Twinkies to say that. Then all of a sudden, you write this stuff on ammunition and for sure that's what it means. Eh. Pick this up tomorrow. Paul Feinbaum takes it away next. Y'all have a great one.